And now, it's Media One Radio Group's local public affairs radio program, Community Spotlight. We're asking the questions you want the answers to.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to Community Spotlight, the Media One Radio Group's weekly public affairs program. I'm Terry Frank. A major shakeup in state government and what that could mean for the city of Jamestown. COVID-19 on the rise again and moving towards a final plan for American Rescue Plan funding. All that and more this week as time allows with Jamestown Mayor Eddie Sundquist. And first off, Eddie, welcome back. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me, Terry. Excited to be here.
First things first, let's talk about this shakeup in Albany and state government. Governor Andrew Cuomo, to some surprise at the very least, announced Tuesday that he would step down in the wake of a state attorney general's report about sexual harassment and misconduct and other occurrences. Your thoughts on that first?
Oh, the governor changed? I hadn't noticed.
Yeah, it's kind of taken all the oxygen in the room, I think.
So my phone has been lit up like a Christmas tree with all of the changes that have occurred. As you know, the governor did or is intending to resign within the next 2 weeks. And as part of that, we will now see Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul be in his place with the new administration. I think that we chatted before, and your listeners may remember that, I joined in the chorus of folks that are trying to hold the governor accountable for those actions of sexual harassment. Those types of actions are not acceptable in any workplace. To see him resign, I think, is the right thing to do. It should have happened very early on, but we are seeing it now. And I think what's important is we will now have a governor that will help the state heal, help to remove individuals that helped in this process that made this hostile work environment, and will start to move the state forward as we continue to battle the COVID epidemic.
You mentioned that, after the AG's report came out shortly after that, probably should have been the time that he stepped down, but he waited until this past Tuesday. Any thought about the straw that broke the camel's proverbial back in this?
Well, I think the fact that the assembly is going to move forward with impeachment hearings at the time before he resigned, once that happens, if they were to impeach him, he is then required to step aside under New York state law while a trial occurs. And I don't think that is something any governor wants to do or any elected official wants to do. So I think once he found out that was moving forward at a much quicker speed, quicker pace, that probably broke the camel's back, as you'd mentioned.
Now, we are very familiar around here with Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul, soon to be governor. And she'll be taking over on August 24th. She's obviously from Western New York, an upstater, which would make her unique among New York governors. Your thoughts about that and what it could mean to the city of Jamestown?
Well, Kathy Hochul, I'm proud to call a colleague and a friend. As you remember, I was part of the pandemic control room. Part of dealing with the state's rollout of different requirements and trying to reduce the levels of COVID. I got to know Kathy Hochul very well. She's come to Jamestown several times at our request and just asking. So she has been a friend of the city of Jamestown, and it's a really wonderful thing to see.
What kind of style do you see Kathy Hochul taking as she assumes the governorship?
Well, I think that I always describe Kathy as someone that has a high level of integrity and ethics. And in many cases, I think her style will be no nonsense for the things that are happening in Albany and across the state. But I also think that she leads with compassion and will be able to help support some of our populations that need it the most.
You mentioned that COVID-19 was something that you worked with her a lot on and dealing with the control room issues. COVID is back in the news again, and not in a good way. The county's Health and Human Services Department reported 119 cases between the 1st of August and now as we're recording this. Considering where we were a few weeks ago, that's got to be a bit alarming.
Oh, it's very alarming to see that, to see that the CDC has now put us in a substantial category of transmission. You know, it is very alarming. It is, for lack of a better term, just disturbing, right? We're seeing these increase of cases, and what we're seeing is many of these cases coming from unvaccinated individuals. And I don't know how many times I could say it that we need to get people vaccinated, right? We need to prevent and stop the spread. And the only way we're going to do that is by getting as many people vaccinated as possible.
And lest we forget, you've had experience, direct experience with COVID.
I have, yeah. Not only did I get COVID and come out okay on the other side, which I cannot say for countless numbers of families that I have talked to who have lost loved ones. But I, as soon as I was eligible to get the vaccine, I jumped in line with everyone else and, you know, not only have the COVID antibodies, but also the vaccine, because that's what we need to do, is we need to get folks vaccinated to protect ourselves, to protect our loved ones, and to stop this spread that is wreaking havoc on our community.
I know that the county is now recommending wearing masks again indoors in public places. Have the protocols at City Hall changed any at all or for city entities?
We haven't made any adjustments yet to City Hall. We were waiting to see what the CDC was going to do, but we strongly encourage all of our employees that wish to wear a mask to wear them. Our policy has not changed since the beginning, which is if you are vaccinated, you are not required to wear a mask. If you are unvaccinated, you must wear a mask. So those policies continue to be enforced at City Hall. And we are going to just encourage people that feel comfortable with and want to help prevent the spread to wear a mask.
We want to remind you, you're listening to Community Spotlight here on the 6 Media One Radio Group stations. I'm Terry Frank. Jamestown Mayor Eddie Sundquist is my guest this week, and I did want to move on to a different topic. Let's go to the American Rescue Master Plan that you folks have been working on for this $28 million the city is receiving. How close are you to having a final plan in place, and how soon will City Council get a look at it?
So we've put forth the draft plan, and we've held listening sessions across the city. Some were lightly attended, some were heavily attended, and that's a really great thing because we've gotten some very good feedback to adjust our master plan. We are working with the Community Foundation to really engage the public and to determine what else we could do under this this master plan for recovery funds. We were hoping to have everything squared away by the end of August, but given the comments we received, we want to make sure that we address those themes and address the concerns of the public. So we're taking our time to make sure that we do it right and that we have the categories really outlined in a way that's meaningful and supports community activities, and in some cases are sustainable. So we'll work through that. There's a couple more groups that we do want to reach out to that we know we need some more feedback from. So we're going to be working with the Community Foundation on doing that. And we're hoping to be able to have the Community Foundation present to the City Council and work through any potential changes.
I know that one of the big topics that has come up is the need for more funding for housing, housing issues, housing initiatives, neighborhood issues. Any thoughts about changes there yet, or are you going to wait until all the feedback is received?
Well, we definitely are looking into that and to see what changes we could make. One of the things that we are also watching closely, and we're kind of waiting a little bit, is to see what happens with this infrastructure bill on a federal level. Because increased infrastructure may include opportunities for things like additional demolitions or for additional housing. Or more importantly, we could remove some of the categories that involve actual infrastructure, roads, streets, water, sewer, and use that funding in other ways. So to remind all of your listeners, you know, the city of Jamestown is meant to be proactive, and that's what we've wanted to do. To have a plan, the living document that we could adjust as necessary. But it's important that we have a plan because this is all of our money. This is all of our taxpayers' money coming to the city. It's our one shot in the arm and our opportunity to make some real development changes and to make some real change in the city.
While I'm thinking about it, we just passed the mid-year mark, and I wanted to get just a quick update from you on where the city is financially. I know last year at this time, you were looking at some real dire circumstances. How has that changed, and how significantly?
Well, I think one of the things to remind folks is that when we started the COVID pandemic, we were very proactive as a city, cutting almost $1.2 million from the city budget. Which was a really difficult thing to do. It really suffered on services and other things we could offer. But that really helped us get through the majority of the pandemic. But we are seeing some good signs for the city. We're seeing sales tax at an all-time high, which is beneficial. But what we really need to see is economic development. We can continue to see an increase of sales tax, but when our tax valuation has not really changed, when we don't see more development happening in the city, that's really what hurts us. So when you ask how we're doing financially, we're okay. We're still in business. But, you know, there's always the possibility that if we don't really focus, especially the use of some of this recovery money on economic development initiatives, bringing in new business, it could always go south quickly.
As we're airing this, the 13-year-old 40th anniversary Babe Ruth World Series is getting underway down at Russell E. Dietrich Jr. Park with teams from West Fargo, North Dakota, from Alabama, all the way out to Kai, Hawaii. The first time a Hawaiian team has been here for a World Series. Just your thoughts about all this.
Well, we're excited to welcome all of the teams to the Babe Ruth World Series. And this is a really great thing. I know we were supposed to have this last year, but you know, COVID, I think, stopped pretty much everything. But we're very, very excited to welcome everyone into the city of Jamestown to be able to watch them play. These are some really talented individuals that are coming from all over. As you said, Hawaii is one of them. And to really see them be here, enjoy the community, and to see the community come out. The Babe Ruth World Series committee, those folks are some of the hardest workers I have ever seen. And to put all this on, to bring folks here and welcome them to Jamestown is a really great thing. So I'm very excited for it. I'm scheduled to throw one of the first pitches. I really got to start practicing, Terry. So if you want to, you know, go help, I'm here.
Have a catch, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, we could definitely do that. I know that the city government's been very involved in the past with Babe Ruth World Series. I know that former Mayor Sam Teresi had been a host family. His family had been host parents for many, many times. Tony Daltz, council president, Kim Eklund, who is vice president of the local Babe Ruth League. So the city is pretty well represented, it seems.
I think so, yeah. They probably don't need me for the first pitch. I'll let them know that.
Oh, and I do know it's scaled back a little bit, and I think the word is just, you know, go and have a good time, but be cautious. The COVID has been on the rise, and we don't want anything to have to interrupt all this.
I think that is the message, and I know a lot of this is being coordinated by the larger organization on right. what certain protocols should and need to be. You know, we want to welcome everyone into the city, and we want them to be safe and to have fun. So, you know, the protocols are important. The city ensures that as a partner, we're sanitizing things as well with their use of the fields and the other areas. So we're excited to have them. It's a great thing, and I hope they enjoy their time here in the city of Jamestown.
And we talk about the economic benefit. I know the cruise-in was held last Friday as we're recording this. But with Babe Ruth coming in, you've got to expect there's going to be a nice economic shot in the arm with all this.
Oh, we're hoping. Yeah, that's not a bad side effect of it, right?
Anyways, Eddie, as we wrap up here, if anybody would like to comment further on the master plan or anything else going on at City Hall, how can they do that?
So they can either send us an email at mayor@jamestownny.gov. Or they could send us some mail. They'd like to send us a letter at City Hall. It's 200 East 3rd Street in Jamestown, New York. So either one, we're happy to. If they'd like, they're even welcome to stop in my office and talk to my staff.
All right, very good. Jamestown Mayor Eddie Sundquist, we appreciate the time as always. Good to see you.
Thanks so much, Terry.
That's been Community Spotlight for this week. I'm Terry Frank. Thank you very much for listening. We'll talk with you again next week at this same time.